Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Alaska Air introduces a new More Legroom add-on and a new Rolling Stones exhibition opens in New York City.
We're always trying to help you avoid ridiculous fees when you're traveling in a 320. Jessica Monsell comes in to tell us about the latest car rental fee and how it has spread to California and what you can or can't do to avoid it.
It's listener participation day on the Travel Guys. We ask you the important travel questions. You share your thoughts and win some prizes. Sound like a plan?
Yeah, well, how and when does this happen?
Happens right after the news at 3:35. We'll take calls from listeners who have flown in a plane at least a couple times in the last year. We're looking for frequent flyers, frequent travelers, and let them answer some questions about personal space and flying. Coming up at 3:35.
Well, the gift-buying season is just around the corner, and at 3:50, Gwen Duncan joins us. She's got some ideas for travelers on your gift list.
We're having some problems with the headlines here today. Busy day here.
I think we're doing great.
Thank you for taking part of your Sunday. It is Sunday, right? Afternoon?
Yes.
To motor along with the Travel Guys.
Beep, beep.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens out on the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Travel Guys here on KFBK. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we're here to make you a smarter traveler, which doesn't necessarily require the ability to read without
headlines.
Error. You know, I mean,
folks, listeners should know that we practice the headlines. Before we come on the air. I mean, we
did.
In the studio, we go over them ahead of time so that we don't stumble when we're saying them like we did 3 or 4 or 7 times.
Well, that just doesn't work.
Well, it's...
We'll practice harder next time.
We will. We promise to practice. We'll come in 4 minutes earlier next week and practice more.
Well, people don't really have any idea. They probably just think we just show up at 3:05 and
they probably do.
Jump on the radio. We got here at 2:15,
yeah,
and it took us 45 minutes to get that wrong.
And I had already been for several hours trying to figure out ways to screw things up on the air today. So, you know,
anyway,
how have
you been, Mr. Hoffman? I understand you were down in L.A. for an event.
I was. I went to remember we had the man on about the Route 66 festival and conference? So I went to that Thursday and Friday. It was not a you know, booths in a convention area or on a street or it wasn't a festival per se. It was more a gathering of educators and people who are trying to promote the road in their community to share ideas and things like that. It was actually quite fascinating if you are a roadie like myself, and I saw a couple of folks that I hadn't seen for a long, long time. And
Candice.
Candice.
We talked about that.
That's right. Candice, which is the right way to pronounce her first name, who is the gal who did the book on the Green Book for the Negro Travelers. She was there, and boy, she's a fascinating lady. We're going to have her back on the air again because she picks up projects like that one and that are just really quite fascinating to know about. So
you mentioned that you heard from what you refer to as women from the old road.
Oh, yeah. They had a whole segment of women from Route 66, and they had these interviews they had done with women who had lived along the road for most of their lives. And, you know, out in the Southern California desert there around World War II, they had a couple of areas where troops were trained out there in the desert and troops that were going to fight in Africa and the like. And so kind of small towns in the middle of the California desert became big towns. And then when the war got over, they became little towns again. And some of these interviews were with women who lived in some of these towns, and the stories they had to tell were just quite remarkable of living on the old highway. And I don't know, probably everyone wouldn't be happy with something like that, but I found it just to be totally fascinating. And we got to see the grapes of wrath on the big screen.
Oh, awesome.
So, do you know there are probably a dozen or so theaters in downtown Los Angeles, old movie houses and old show palaces that haven't been torn down. Some of them are operational. I suspect some are not. But really some great community treasures there. Downtown Los Angeles is changing. The area down there by the Staples Center and LA Live, a half a dozen large condo towers have gone up already, and a half a dozen others are under construction. I would estimate that tens of thousands of people are moving back into the downtown area, if for no other reason, as we were talking before the show, than just for the convenience of being able. And it's not a bad neighborhood. And it's just, if you haven't been to downtown Los Angeles, there are still classic parts of the neighborhood, if you want to consider them classic, but there's a lot of things are changing there.
We are the Travel Guys, and everything we talk about on the show, at least most everything, you can follow along by going to travelguysradio.com. All right, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we do the travel news. Music by Huey Lewis and the News.
Oh, that's really catchy the way you did that. Yeah.
What do you got for us, Mark?
All right, let's see here. Tom, have you ever... Well, you're not much of an... You're like me. You're not a big international traveler. But for people who do travel internationally, it came out in 2006. Google released a translation, a way for you to be able to translate other languages. And so it was... successful on a level, but it made a lot of mistakes, and it was hard for it sometimes to understand, especially when people were speaking in their native tongue, for them to pick it up. But Google has made some improvements on this now, and saw a press release on it this week. So if you are an international traveler who previously has used Google Translate and not been happy with it, or if you haven't used it before and you travel internationally, you might want to give it a shot. Now, particularly, Google is saying that they have tremendously improved the English to Chinese translation and vice versa. So if you're headed for China for a vacation or to some other foreign country, the Google Translate is an app that you definitely want to have on your telephone. Might be fun to play with before you leave.
It would be.
All right. Lyft is giving JetBlue points. If you ride in a Lyft car, you can get JetBlue points now. This is the first time this has happened with one of the ride-sharing companies. They've capped it at 1,200 miles a year, and JetBlue TrueBlue miles points are worth about a 1.2 cents a piece. So it's about $14 worth of miles you can pick up, and there's a bonus you can get and a credit for the first ride. So it's not the biggest bonus in history, but as it says here in the press release that was written, it beats a poke in the face with a sharp stick.
There you go. Well, you know, Lyft, it's for whatever the reason, my perception is that, they're always in second place to Uber. Whenever you talk about, ride share, people will say, well, yeah, I've done the Uber thing.
Uh-huh.
Not as many people will say Lyft. And at the same time, whenever I'll get messages in my email and stuff on my phone from Lyft, whether it's a $50 gift card to use their services, they seem to be working harder at trying to win some of that business. And I think this is a good example.
Well, and I think they're winning some of the business by way of the drivers, because people can tip easier with Lyft than they can with Uber, something we've talked about here before. And that's an important part of drivers' income. You'll also find an increasing number of drivers now are driving for both.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got both in their car at the same time. It gives them twice as many opportunities. Cab companies, you see fewer and fewer taxi cabs. Like, I was just in Los Angeles. It was because of the points I had in my account, could stay at the JW Marriott for a couple of nights. What a nice hotel that is. Thank goodness I had the points, because I think it's about a $400 a night hotel. So if you're lucky enough to be able to stay at the JW Marriott in Los Angeles near LA Live, it's a really, really nice hotel. And the service there is quite excellent. Speaking of Uber and Lyft, Hertz last week reported its quarterly results and lost a quarter of its value. The rental car business is getting hit really hard by these ride sharing companies. And I have to tell you, I was just in LA on a trip where I normally would have rented a car for a couple of days. I decided to do an experiment. I decided to go all Uber and Lyft rides and my little feetsies around downtown Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
The rental car would have been $177 for 48 hours, and the Uber rides were $52. So I effectively saved $125.
There you go.
And I had no problem getting Uber cars within a couple of minutes. It was very convenient. I didn't have to worry about parking in downtown Los Angeles. And besides that $175, I would have paid God knows how much to park at the Marriott for two nights. So
right.
Probably $40, $50 a night. So there you go. So rental car companies are feeling the pain from the ride-sharing companies. Kind of interesting. American Airlines has announced that the American Advantage Elite program, they've sent out a release saying, what's ahead in 2017? It's not good, folks. American is basically doing what Delta and United have already done. They're going to a revenue-based program as opposed to just the number of miles that you fly. So for American next year, to earn your status, you will have to not only fly X number of miles, but you will have to either spend X number of dollars on your credit card and or spend X number of dollars with American Airlines. So that's the basic change there.
And speaking of credit cards, let me bring you up to date. I got a letter from our friends at American Express letting me know, because I'm a Starwoods member, that if I use my American Express Starwoods SPG card at a Marriott, I would receive 2 points for every dollar spent, where with Sheraton, it's only 1 point per dollar.
So they're trying to get you acquainted with the Marriott brand. Maybe Marriott will send us Marriott folks one and say you can use your Marriott card at Starwood and get double points. So what you're telling me is I should use my Starwood card at Marriott, even though I am a Marriott guy.
I would think.
Right now, it's more advantageous to use your Starwood card at Marriott.
I would think that's what it looks like.
That makes perfect sense. Almost to me. Alaska Airlines, we mentioned in the headlines, is doing an economy plus sort of seating thing. They're going to start converting their airplanes. 4 inches of extra legroom. It'll cost you $15 and up. Alaska has been one of the airlines that has had, they have had a little better seating throughout the plane. So I can tell you what's going to happen here. This extra seating at the extra price in the front is coming at a price for the people in the back. They're not going to save any money, but they're going to find probably an inch or an inch and a half of the Alaska legroom is going to go away.
You know, the Golden One Center and the people that built that and all might want to take a look at that program, because the seats are so close together that if you're over 5'10", you're leaning, your knees are in the back of the guy's head in front of you.
Really?
And if the guy in front of you decides to lean forward and do the lean on the knee thing and watch the game, you will not be able to see the basket because he will block your view. And they're, in my opinion, they have a serious problem moving forward with that. And maybe that's it. Take out a couple of rows, offer for a little bit more, you can get 4 inches of leg room.
Yeah, it's surprising that hasn't come to arenas yet. All right, and finally, a new Rolling Stones exhibition has opened in New York City. It's in the West Village in Greenwich Village. It is called Exhibitionism. The Rolling Stones, it is $37 to get into. So if you're headed to New York City and you're a Rolling Stones fan, there is a new exhibit that will outline all of their history. Coming up next, Jessica Monsell joins us here on The Travel Guys. We're going to talk about a new car rental fee that has slipped into California.
That's next on The Travel Guys. Chewing on a pizza. It's The Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. We are on the radio every Sunday at 3 o'clock. Find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. And Mark,
After the news, we are going to invite you to call in and answer some travel questions, win some prizes. So if you have flown at least a couple times in the last year,
I have.
Wait for the signal to call, and we will do that after the news. Joining us now is Jessica Monsell. Hi, Jessica.
Hey, good afternoon, Mark and Tom.
Welcome to The Travel Guys. We have a little bit of a problem here in California that you have called to my attention. The toll roads that you can't pay cash on have arrived in California.
Right. So, you know, I had a consumer problem raised by a lady who visited Sacramento not long ago. And she got home after renting her car through Budget and got this bill charged or a charge on her credit card. And she said, wait a second, I never went on any toll roads. And then did a little investigation. She called Budget. They directed her to their third-party site. And there she saw that she had driven on a road called I-580 in Alameda County. And there they have special lanes for high occupancy vehicles. So really that means two people or more in the car. And if you drive in those lanes at certain times of day, you incur a toll. But then what budget does is that it tacks on a fee on top of the toll. So her toll was $1.40. Budget charged her $3.95 for the fee, which is disclosed on their website, and then did that for the next 4 days. So for a total of $19.75 in fees on top of her $1.40 toll.
So wait a minute. This lady, she incurred $1.40 toll, which activated this box in her car, and therefore she was charged every single day of the rental, even if she didn't go through any other toll roads.
That's correct. And so this fee schedule has been in effect for several years at all of the rental car companies. But what I find objectionable about it is that in the disclosure, it explains that, you know, we're charging you all this money, but if you don't go on a toll road, of course, you don't get charged the fee. And they explain that, you know, they sort of say you can opt out in that way. Well, if you don't know that a toll is coming, how can you opt out? And in fact, if there are tolls that you know, there's no cash option, it's not like the olden days when you could just choose the cash lane and pay that way and get around it some way. There's just no way out of it. And I think these companies are taking advantage of consumers.
Well, and there are an awful lot of roads now, Jessica, in Florida particularly, in the Miami, greater Miami area, where it's very difficult to navigate around if you don't have the ability to travel on a cashless toll road. Then travel becomes much more difficult. It can be done. But as you mentioned, it's frequent that you come up on these situations when you've rented a car and you don't even realize it's coming. Suddenly, here's this road in front of you and there's no way to pay cash. And if you're smart enough to see that little box up on your car there and you know what's going on. But what happens is once you've activated that box, you are charged every single day of the rental, whether or not you need it or not. So that, yes, Tom.
I was going to say, Jessica, do I understand that you were able to negotiate that fee away for this particular lady?
Well, I did. So I contacted Budget, and they were very nice and said, we'll refund the fees for this renter, but going forward, she's now on notice that any further rentals, she'll be charged fees for tolls, and that's the way that the system works.
What's your recommendation to our listeners in regards to dealing with this moving forward as you go to rent a car?
Well, you know, for the moment, unfortunately, there's just no way to get around it. You know, I recently rented, as you said, in South Florida, I rented a car, and you drive on the highway, you know, you're navigating either with GPS or with your phone, and it's going to send you to the toll roads most often, and you don't even really know where they are and how to get around them. So for right now, there's no great fix. I wish I had advice to give you. But what I find particularly bothersome about this case where the renter was driving in a high occupancy lane and she had another passenger with her, so technically she should not have been charged a toll at all. And the reason she was charged a toll is because Budget uses antiquated technology, does not use what's called the Fast Track Flex, which is available in Northern California, where you can tell the machine how many people are in your car. So technically, had Budget outfitted this car with the newest technology, she would not have been charged a toll at all. So it's even worse than how I presented it in the article that you read on my site.
So this is kind of a cash grab and always has been by the car rental companies. It's been going on. People on the West Coast haven't been too aware of it because most of these roads exist in Texas or in Florida. But now that we've got one of them in California, it definitely is something that it seems somewhat unfair that the car rental company, I know they disclose this and stuff, but you frequently don't realize it until after the fact. Doesn't it seem, Jessica, that it would be that somebody's making a lot of money here, and you're suggesting that because of the contracts between the car rental companies and the toll entities themselves, the states and stuff that are running the toll booths, that in essence the states are ripping off their own citizens in some ways here.
Right. And I mean, sometimes there are people coming from out of state who are, you know, victim to this system, but really, if you don't have the transponder in your car, if you're a driver in California and you drive in one of these lanes without that technology, it will capture your license plate information and it will send a bill to the registered owner of the car. So really, budget is basically serving as a middleman in a sense and taking a pretty hefty cut at the same time. So it's very tricky.
Yeah, perhaps one might say even an unfair cut. I mean, to charge people, in this case, the lady, she went on one toll road. She ends up paying, in essence, $20 in fees for the fee is much greater than the convenience that it's providing, in my opinion. Jessica, we're getting up against the news here. We wanted really to talk to you about Allegiant Airlines. We had talked about that last week, and you had some inside information there. So can we save that for next week?
Oh, sure. No problem at all.
All right. Well, we'll get in touch with you, and we want to talk about that. We were talking, Tom, you remember last week, about the fact that Allegiant Airlines has five times as many problems as anybody else in the sky. And Jessica had some information on that. So we'll save that for next week. Jessica, thank you for joining us on the Travel Guys today. Coming up after the news, we're going to take your calls at 921-1530, 800-834-1530. And we're looking for folks who have flown at least a couple of times in the last year. We're looking for frequent flyers to answer some travel questions and win a prize. 921-1530 after the news. We are the Travel Guys.
Happy birthday, Stan Atkinson, who you just heard from a moment ago. Tom Romano, Mark Hoffman here. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And we got a fun little... it's kind of a contest and kind of not. It's kind of a contest in that what we're going to do is we're going to have four or five people on the air. Mm-hmm. Mark's going to ask you questions in regards to travel, particularly, specifically,
what happens on an airplane.
Airplane travel. Mm-hmm. And then what we're going to do is take your names, Mary, Kim, Connie, Terry. We're going to put them in a hat. We're going to draw out a couple of names randomly.
Yep. And this, at the end of the segment.
And Mark, tell them what they win.
Tell them what they win. And they'll win a $50 gift card from Target Stores, Tom.
Awesome. All right. There you go. So that's how it goes. And I guess with that point, we're ready to get started.
I think we are. We have got Mary in Rockland is our first contestant. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you.
And you are a frequent flyer, a frequent traveler?
Right. We travel probably 4 to 5 round trips a year, sometimes to Europe.
Oh, excellent. Mary, you're going to be perfect for this then. Mary, let me ask you a question. You know, you get into a typical row on an airplane where there are 3 seats across.
Right.
Okay. And there are four armrests.
Correct.
Okay. So who gets 2 armrests?
I think the person in the middle, because that's not the most desirable seat.
Uh-huh. So you're okay with giving up. Now, what if the person in the middle just, like, hogs those 2 armrests? Do you say anything to them, or you just let them go?
I think if they're spilling over into my seat, I will. When you travel, I think it's hectic, and you have to be polite and thoughtful and courteous, both of us. So I usually see, you know, can you just move a little bit over because I'm trying to, you know, read my book or something.
Oh, I'm liking Mary already, Tom.
But you have to look at each situation and make that judgment.
Okay, so Mary, what about the window shade? There's 3 of you in the row. Does the person on the window get to control the window shade completely, or do the other passengers get some say in it?
I think the other passengers get some say, but the person at the window is fine with me unless it's something that's interfering, like the sunshine hitting my eyes, or I'm trying to read and I can't do it, then I politely ask him, would it be possible to lower a little bit because it's hitting me directly?
Wow, Tom, mm-hmm. I'm going to put Mary in my row next time
I'm
traveling.
It's a courteous.
She sounds like a very nice lady.
Mm-hmm.
So
it happened to me coming back from Hawaii last year, and I couldn't, you know, I was reading my book, and it was hitting at the angle where I couldn't see and was blinding me. So I asked the person, she was very nice, and she said, sure, and she adjusted it down.
What about kids-free seating areas on airplanes? Do you think that's something that should be done, or do you think it's just pretty much everybody get on and we're all in it together?
Well, I've traveled from Europe when there have been children, young children behind us, and I think, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. But by the same token, they have as much right to be on the plane as I, so I try to grin and bear it and be a little more tolerant. and I don't think they should be put in different sections because I don't like to go down that road to segregate people. So I think that it could be a little more dangerous if you start putting people in different areas because of their age or things like that. So
okay.
We did discuss that there was an airline. I think it was a European or mm-hmm. Asian
There's
airline.
There's more than one now.
Yeah, that has begun to segregate, if you will.
Yeah, you can have kids-free zones. Mary, thank you so much for sharing all of your thoughts with us.
Good luck in the draw.
We will put your name into the drawing, Mary. By the way, we have a line open now at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. We've got three more here, so if you want to give a call and get in line, we're giving away a couple of $50 travel cards. The deal is you've got to be a frequent traveler. At least you've been on an airplane at least a couple of times in the last couple of years. Kim in Rancho Cordova is next on the Travel Guys. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Tom.
Hi there, Kim. Look, I want to go ahead and start with one myself here because I know it's one of Mark's pet peeves. He knows where I'm going with this. What is your thought about pets on planes? Not snakes, but pets, particularly those that are referred to as service animals that sometimes can exceed, you know, the small 15-pound chihuahua under the seat. So what are your feelings in regards to pet travel?
My feeling on that is I'm a pet lover, and I don't have an issue with pets on planes.
Now, what if you get on the plane and, because this happened to me the other day, you get on the plane and someone gets on and sits down next to you with a Great Dane.
No, this happened to you?
This actually happened, yes. We were in a bulkhead
seat. A service Dane.
Yes. Would you have any... Does your love for animals extend that far, Kim?
It does. As long as I can stretch my legs out. And I'm not a tall person, so I don't need a ton of leg room.
Okay, so let's
be okay.
All right, so that now you're on the plane with the dog next to you there, and the person on the other side of you comes on the plane and opens up your two minutes into the air, and they open up their lunch, and it's a tuna salad sandwich, which has been at room temperature for a few hours. How do you feel about people who bring smelly food on the plane, Kim? Should there be any kind of protocol for that?
I think there should be common courtesy with bringing food on a plane. You know, not everybody, I'll use myself as an example. I do not like the smell of bananas, and it makes me nauseous to smell them.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's somebody next to me that's eating a banana, I will respectfully ask them, you know, I'm sorry, but the smell is making me sick.
You don't stop eating the banana. Yeah. Kim is going to upchuck on your lunch.
And then I'll start looking for the little bag in the seat in front of me.
There you go. Well, you ever notice that there are certain foods that if you're not eating it and somebody else, it smells horrible and it's disgusting. Bananas might be one, like Doritos. But if you're imbibing, if you're having them too, then it's okay. Onward we go.
Okay, so Kim, how do you feel about the window shades? Does the window person control that, or is it a group vote?
I think the window person controls it. I'm an aisle seat person myself, and I have never asked a person to close the window shade. So I let them control that. And I've had the situation with the sun in my eyes, and just close my eyes, lay back, and...
And suffer.
So as an aisle person, do you feel that you have the right to kind of like lean that one leg kind of sort of out into the aisle most of the time, except for when they're driving the cart and you're tripping people?
Yeah, I don't do that because it's kind of dangerous if you fall asleep.
Yeah, I've got the scar, Tom, here on the outside of this leg to prove it.
You got nicked by the cart.
I got hit by a cart a couple weeks ago, yeah.
I travel, when I travel, and I am a sports leisure traveler, with Mark and his group.
Oh, my condolences.
They're a great group. I always, my carry-on, I'm always able to put in the overhead, so I make sure that I have my leg room, and I don't have a need to put my leg out in the aisle. I know some people do, and like I said, I don't want to risk losing my toes.
Kim, thank you for sharing a little bit with us some of your thoughts today here. We will put you into the drawing here, where if you're just tuned into the Travel Guys, what we're doing here is it's Audience Participation Day, and we're just asking you some questions about things that tend to happen on airplanes, and everybody who gets through is eligible to win a prize at the end of the segment. Connie in Folsom is our next contestant. Hi, Connie.
Hold on a second. I'm dialing up Connie now.
Looking for Connie.
Here she is.
Hello. Hi.
Hey. Hi, Connie. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you, Mark and Tom.
Let's see here, Tom. What should we ask Connie about here first?
Well, Connie, do you think that it's your responsibility or the responsibility of one of the flight attendants to help you put your luggage in that overhead?
Should the flight attendants help people put stuff up, or should you, if you pack it, you should rack it?
Well, I don't ever put things up there, but I've seen them. People struggle. I would say that they can help to a point, but I don't know that I, you know, would say they're required. Although I have seen them be very helpful when it comes to organizing, because some people will put theirs lengthwise, you know, so that's the bot taking up more space than they really need to. So as far as being more efficiently packed in there.
Now, you see, Tom, I've also seen where people who are, let's put it this way. You get on the airplane, mm-hmm. and you've got a bag, and you're struggling to put it up. People say, well, the heck with it. Let him struggle. But, you know, if a nice elderly person gets on or something like that, somebody who's obviously got a little bit of an issue, they got a child in one hand, and they're trying to get the bag up there, why, then usually people are.
Sure.
And also, I think if it's a reasonable bag, people are much more responsive than if it's a steamer trunk and you can't get it up there. Why then?
Shouldn't kind be of on the attitude plane in the is, first place.
Exactly, kind of.
One of the things that I've noticed is that there comes a point where everybody want to get move this plane along, mm-hmm. right? So all of a sudden, everybody's helping to get the bag in, flight attendants helping to get it closed, and so because they want to go.
Do you notice that atmosphere prevails more often on Southwest planes than
yes.
anything else? Connie, what's your favorite airline?
Southwest,
see? That's and you know, it's fast becoming my favorite airline, because as it's becoming more and more difficult, even for folks who have a lot of status and have flown a lot on airlines, to get those upgraded seats in the front of the airplane, flying on a Southwest flight is so much more enjoyable. It's just a better atmosphere. There's not so much animosity. The people, even when you're lining up to get on the plane, there's not as much animosity as there is. Let me ask you here, Connie, quickly, on the armrest, who should get control of the extra armrest? Does the person in the middle seat get control automatically, or is that negotiable?
I think it should be automatically the middle person. However, I'll speak for myself, I don't claim any of the armrests, because I take my handy wipes and I wipe down everything. And I don't even want my arms on the armrest, so I let the people on either side of me have them.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm kind of an arm folder.
Yeah, I'm an arm folder, or I read, or I just snuggle under my coat.
All right. Connie, thank you so much, first of all, for waiting for so long, and second of all, for sharing your thoughts with us here on the Travel Guys. Let's move to Terry in Fair Oaks is our next contestant. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hi, Mark and Tom.
Hi, Terry.
So, Terry, you get on the plane, mm-hmm. and you're seated, and somebody gets on next to you, and they've got a cat in a little carrier, and they sit down next to you, and you're allergic to cats. Now,
Service
what happens cat. Next?
I am allergic to cats.
Oh, well, then this is a perfect question.
It is a good question. I think sometimes there's someone that's willing to switch with you. So I would just kindly ask the stewardess if they could possibly remove my seat.
Okay.
That would be the best. Because I don't want to be getting off the plane and getting all weepy and sneezy. I think that would be the best.
Now, but if
I wouldn't ask them to move. I would move myself.
You'd move yourself. Okay. So what if somebody gets on with an animal like we were, as I experienced with the Great Dane?
A Great Dane.
Really? I am not kidding you, Thomas. A Great Dane. And in that bulkhead seat, sometimes there's a little bit of extra room behind first class. And that's kind of where they put the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And they moved everything that they had stored there out of the way. And the dog basically took all the space and wasn't in our way. But I was going to be a turd about it. I mean, I basically was going to say, you know, this dog is in my foot space, so this doesn't work for me. So you got to give me back my own. Is that wrong? Am I being too tough there, Terry?
I don't think so. I just think it also, there's one consideration. If you were on a very short flight, I might tolerate a little bit of inconvenience. But if it's a long flight, I couldn't take it. I would have to ask either I would have to move, and I would just, if you want to move me up to first class, so be it.
Terry, I got to ask you, this is, now that we're on the animal thing here, we need to go to the food thing. If somebody gets on the plane and they've got something that really is just, I mean, they open it up and you're like, oh my God, what died there?
Do you say,
exactly.
Sardine and onion sandwich.
Do you say something? Should there be some kind of protocol there to our fellow passengers to not bring that kind of stuff on board?
You would think that people would be considerate, but I don't think that that's the case. They'll eat a drippy sandwich that's splattering over to you.
Oof.
And I think people are not that considerate. So if it's really bothering me, maybe the smell, I might ask to move again. And you know what? Sometimes if they have first class, if you're on a long flight, they may move you up just to make you happy. Maybe move up to first class.
Well, and you're absolutely right. If you're on a really long flight, there might be a seat in first class. If it's any kind of a domestic flight, they probably have already sold, upgraded, you know. And the problem we have out of Sacramento, the United folks were telling me the other day, Thomas, United's load factor for September from Sacramento was 94%. So that means there were almost no empty seats on a United airplane out of sight. And even though we've got more planes than we used to have. All right, Terry, thank you so much.
You're going to get stuck between the Great Dane and the stinky sandwich one of these days. And it's going to, you know, that Dane's going to go for that sandwich, and there you're going to be.
And that's going to be. All right, we're going to have to go. For the rest of the folks who have waited for online, thank you for calling. Sorry we didn't have enough time, but we will do this again sometime before too long. And just,
okay, we'll put the names in a hat.
Yes,
and,
put all the names for all the folks who talk to us in a hat, and we'll announce the winners when we come right back after this break. Gwen Duncan is going to join us to talk a little bit about holiday travel gifts right here on The Travel Guys.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane. You can take a ride on this one and only train. We can travel, you and me, over land and sea. We'll get...
Here to make you a smarter traveler, you've stumbled across the Travel Guys radio show every Sunday from 3 to 4 here on KFBK. I'm Tom Romano. To my left, Mark Hoffman. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And today we're going to try to make your holidays a little bit more merry. Is that grammatically incorrect?
I think a little merrier.
A little merrier.
We're going to talk to you about gift giving. If you have somebody on your shopping list who is a traveler, you can make them very happy, very easy. Gwen, tell us about some of the ways that people can do their gift giving for travelers.
Oh, I've got some creative ways. Most all of the cruise lines will sell you gift certificates in certain increments from $50 to $2,000 or better. And you can contact the cruise lines for that. And you can get a gift of maybe your family and friends supplier, if whether it's Carnival or Royal Caribbean or something. Also, airline certificates, if there's something you want them to be able to come visit you more, parents will do this. They'll send gift certificates for their kids to be able to come and fly over to visit with them. And then the resorts, those would be all-inclusives and everything. They give gift certificates as well. And I remember talking with Tom earlier today, and he came up with a great idea not to be forgotten, is if you have a timeshare, then you may want to gift a week or some days or points or however yours is constructed for your family.
I see. So if Tom is one that doesn't want to use his timeshare, he's not going to use it anyway. It's a way to unload the timeshare. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say it that way.
well, there you go.
It has a value, though.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. If you're sitting there with a timeshare that you're maybe not going to use, I think it's a terrific idea. And there are people who would think, wow, you've gifted me a whole week in a timeshare in, you know, never mind, it's in Poughkeepsie, but, you know.
I mean, it beats losing the points.
Well,
you can always do this, too, particularly if you're dealing with Interval International or one of those kind of timeshare holding companies that that you parked your week, and they will allow you to break it up into days. So you might want to just give them 3 days, and then they can actually pick the location that they want to go to.
Well, those folks are very helpful. They'll take your week and let you split it up into two-day segments.
Yes, but the only downside is whoever you gave it to, they're gonna charge them a fee.
Well, you can get, you can pay for that.
Well, yeah,
and you're gonna, but you're gonna lose some value too because they don't allow you to trade. That's what I was saying. They'll take your 1 week stay and be grateful to split it into two night segments for you,
yeah.
And give you just a little bit. But still, if you weren't going to use it anyway,
yeah,
what a great way to give a gift to somebody,
absolutely,
of some real value. And also, you pointed out here the advantage of giving gift cards, especially if you're traveling for the holidays. And this doesn't just make with travel gift cards, but you know, it's hard to get to show somebody a cruise ship. You can't wrap a cruise ship or a hotel or something.
Yes.
So a gift card for a traveler makes a lot more sense because it isn't a physical gift to start with. And the other thing is that if you're passing through TSA around Christmas time and they're always telling you don't wrap the gifts because we need to be able to unwrap them and you've got to pay baggage fees and there's not enough room on the plane to store all the bags. So now your bag with the gifts in it is being going down underneath, which is what not what you planned. And goodness gracious sakes alive, if you were just taking a whole handful of gift cards, you wouldn't have all that extra problem. You could take the extra $100 you'd pay on baggage checking.
Absolutely.
And put it in the gift cards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of people think they can take certain things, you know, like cranberries or something, you know, a load of stuff to their family to contribute. And that's against the TSA.
Yes, very few people realize. It's funny that you mentioned cranberries, particularly, Gwen, because it is indeed. I was reading an article the other day, and the title of the article was Cranberry Sauce is a Liquid.
Yes.
And that's because the TSA does consider cranberry sauce to be a liquid.
That's
pies,
right.
Pies, on the other hand, fruit pies are considered liquid, but pumpkin pies, pies that are set, are not. So, Gwen Duncan, some great ideas for gifts for Christmas for travelers. And the bottom line is, don't be afraid of gift cards for travelers for Christmas because
that's
you
right.
can make somebody really happy. And you can find Gwen Duncan at
GoCYTravel.com.
And we are the Travel Guys on KFBK. And
okay, we've got something to give away here.
And
we
we're
going to
give
time.
Something away. Are you ready,
Andrew,
Mark?
Yes. So Andrew made all the paint pieces. You draw them right there. There's
we're
four.
Draw one?
Yep.
Okay.
There it is. I'll draw one. Who'd you get?
I've got Mary from Rockland.
And I've got Terry from Fair Oaks. Those are the two winners of our $50 Target cards. Thank you to everybody who called in, and thank you to everybody who waited online and didn't get on the air. That was a lot of fun, and plus you were all really good callers, so that was really nice too. Next week, what are we going to do? We're going to talk to Jessica more about this whole Allegiant thing and the planes that are falling out of the sky.
And we've got the Woody, he's referred to as the Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele, has performed for the Queen of England, has backed many, many artists over the years. Jake Shimabukuro.
The travel and entertainment guys.
Yeah, travel and entertainment guys, and he's actually going to play live.
We will be here next Sunday at 3 o'clock for you for an hour, doing things to make you a smarter traveler. You can follow along with everything, anything that was mentioned on the air today. Go to travelguysradio.com. You'll see links there to a lot of the news stories and to our guests, things that we covered. Also on the top of that screen, you'll see a place where you can leave your email address and get a link to the podcast every week in case you don't get a chance to listen to the program live. You'll get a link and can listen to the program during the week. Thank you, Thomas, for all your help today, and to Andrew, too.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andrew. And you all have a great week. Stay well. We'll see you next week on The Travel Guys.